I listened to Jesus one time, and he walked up to the pool of Bethesda, and he said to one man that was sitting there, "Wilt thou be made whole?" His statement to this man was in relationship to his will. He would have never received anything contrary to his own will. Now that's an amazing thing. But that's what I want to. I want to give you the first sermon on tonight. I got two sermons, see, that I want to preach tonight. And before I get too involved, I want to say that I certainly enjoy these special songs. I'd love to hear the Coggins sing "Crossing the Jordan" tonight. And I'd love to hear my wife's son-in-law and daughter sing. That's what you called me. We're happy to have the Thomases here with us tonight. Of course, we can be prejudiced, and you probably wouldn't condemn us too badly for being so. But we enjoy their singing very much. They're helping us in Lamesa. So really, we've got two couples from Lamesa tonight. And we're happy to have them in the service. Now, evidently, I gathered from the pastor's remarks here, we have some visiting members. So we're happy to have you tonight. God bless you. It's always good to have folks come back home. But I do sincerely want to talk to you for a little bit here tonight on this matter of your will. Now, you don't receive anything from God contrary to what you want. It has never been, it never will be. God will never violate your will. That's the reason he gave you one. That's the reason he put something in you that he didn't put in the animal that's out in the field. He wanted a voluntary giving of yourself to God. Yes. And for folks learning this, in the deeper sense, they stumble around in spiritual living for a long time. The only thing that will make you happy in the Lord is turn your will over to Him. That's the only thing. Now we can give you recipes for revival. We can diagnose your cases and tell you this and that and the other. But when it all boils down, it's your will that's involved. Now, if there are those of you tonight, who this is your home church, and you haven't been in any services this revival, and you could have been, you've got spiritual problems. You really have. You've got spiritual problems. And unless that problem is healed, it's going to turn into drastic diseases.
That's right.
And a lot of times we don't think there's anything wrong. But there are. There's something wrong with my love for Jesus. If frivolous things stand between me and my relationship with Him, something wrong with it. So, there's coming a day that you're going to want to be promoted. Oh, you say, Brother Wilder, you mean God promotes you? Yes, sir. He sure does. If you notice, there are folk in your church that unless your church is an exception, and I doubt that in this sense, that they'll get started for the Lord and they'll come along wonderfully for a while. They'll be faithful to church for a while. If they're given a little job to do, they'll be faithful with it for a while. And then they'll slack off. And they'll fade out. You'll have to replace them. You'll have to get used to not seeing them around. Something happens and then they get stirred up again and prayed through again, we say, and they start all over the same cycle. They come right back up to the point where the Lord brought them to before, and if they don't make something different this time, they'll be right back down to the foot of the ladder, and they'll start over again. Now, I've seen folk that have spent 15 and 20 years around churches making this cycle. They're never happy spiritually. They're always down. You can never depend upon them. About the time that you want to take a hold of them and put them in a class or give them some responsibility, they fag out on. Now, you've got a spiritual disease, brother or sister, that you need healing for. I don't care how much you love God in your heart. And I don't care how much in sympathy you are with the church. And how much you like to see good revivals and this and that and the other. It takes a price for the life.
Yes, amen.
And while you're going up and around and up and down, the other people are paying the price and they just carry you along with the tide of the church. Someday, you're going to come in face to face with a drastic need in your life. And you're not going to have the spiritual fortitude to stand. You're going to run into something that's going to knock you flat on your back. And they're going to have to pick you up in pieces and try to mold them back together. It's these type of people that get bitter at God when something in a misfortune way happens to them. They begin to blame God. They don't think God has done them wrong and ill. When all the time God is just allowing things to get your attention, so he can get you back down at the altar of dedication and consecration again. Amen. Hey, well, I told you how I had two sermons tonight. So, the time is going to come that you're going to want to be promoted. Now, don't you fool yourself. If you think that you can just lay out in the fringe areas of a church, take no load, show them no responsibility, get in every once in a while, have a glorious time praying around the altar, and that if you ever make it in, you'll have as much reward as the faithful people, the hardworking people, and the busy folks. You'll never have it. You'll never have it. Don't kid yourself. It doesn't work that way in secular life. And brother and sister, it will not work that way in spiritual life. You're going to have rewards according to your works.
Amen.
And if your works have been in and out and up and down and unfaithful and undependable, that's what you're going to receive when you get on the other side. In direct proportion. And God's scales is better to lay on than any kind that man has ever devised. So the happy Christian is the one that lends his will to God.
Yes.
And he says, Lord, not my will,
yes,
but thine be done.
Right.
Hallelujah. And the Bible said that promotion does not come from the east or from the west or from the south. I wonder what he left out, the north. But then he said promotion comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So God hands out promotion on the basis of dependableness and faithfulness. How many people have you seen pray through around the altar? And they work their way through in sincere repentance. And you've seen God bless them time and time again. But they come back to God one time, and they knelt at that altar, and they was determined to get through, and they didn't get the joy. They didn't get the glorious infilling like they did before. How many times have you saw something like this? They got up from the altar disappointed. They really did. They opened up their heart and they emptied out all they could. They went through the same procedure they'd always went through, but they just didn't get back in to that overflowing joy in their heart. I've seen it time and time and time again. I have tried to encourage people like that that's loyal to the Lord. I believe that God puts them on probation after a while, and they're going to have to prove to God that they mean business before the glory ever comes back in their heart again. Now that's sermon number one. Forgive me for taking up 10 minutes for doing it. But I just wanted to hand that out to you because I realize that people that are not solid and settled in the house of God, they need help. You need help. And I'm honestly trying to help anybody that might be in this place tonight. All right, turn with me in your Bibles. I want to look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I should pause, I suppose, and let you open your Bible after asking you to look with me. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It is the best. It's more beneficial for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now notice it's him. It's a person. And when he is come, will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. I sin because they believe not in me, of righteousness because of it of my Father, and you sin in the more of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. All right, I will turn to chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and I want us to read there. Excuse me while I remove some of my burden. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to talk to you a while tonight on Pentecost. I'm not talking about the assembly of God, but I want to talk to you about Pentecost.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now there was something that happened to these believers in the upper room. Now don't tell me tonight, friends, that these disciples that had gathered in the upper room waiting for the day of Pentecost to come were backsliders. They were not. Because a backslider is the most miserable person I have ever saw in my life. And the Bible said that these disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Now that doesn't sound like a backslider. Now besides that, how many backsliders have you ever saw that stayed in a 10-day prayer meeting? Now I think we could go up about a half a dozen or a dozen counts that would disqualify these people from being backsliders.
Yes.
But there was something that happened when the Holy Ghost descended and it melted that group of people together like you would melt on together in a moon.
Oh,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Since the day that Pentecost fell, these people then began to band together. Now that same bunch of disciples that scattered to the four winds of the earth in the Garden of Gethsemane, now they're banded together. Hallelujah. And they were molded together by the power of Pentecost. Amen. Not only that, but they were there praying together. Why, you find them praying before Pentecost, and then when the Pentecost the blessing fell, you found them praying in the third chapter, and the building shook while they were praying.
Yeah.
Brother, I want you to know, I'd like to be in that kind of a prayer meeting again.
Yeah.
Amen. Where the place was shaken by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So they were praying together. They witnessed together.
Yeah.
Everywhere they went, they talked about the wonderful Jesus.
Yeah.
And the wonderful things that had happened. They rejoiced together.
Yeah.
They were persecuted together. And let me please, they died together. Hallelujah. They had something that pulled them together and molded them together that nothing in the world could separate. Hallelujah. Why, they were tired, some of them, history says, to the back of the wagon or something and dragged them through the streets of Jerusalem. They painted the streets red with the blood of the saints of God. But that didn't matter. Everyone they killed, there was a humanism that would stand up and take its place in the lands of the kingdom of God. The Bible said that God was adding daily to the church such as should be saved in the face of death, in the face of persecution, in the face of giving your life for the testimony. Brother, I want you to know they might not have had any stipulation to belong to the church in that day and time, but they didn't need any. Because when we find They walked the road on that Jerusalem church. It might mean your head the next 15 minutes after you put your name down there. And they wasn't running in those trying to become members of that church. No, sir. They're just to be identified with that crowd with enough to mark you up for a sign, and the devil was shooting all kinds of arrows and darts at the ones that are joined in that assembly. Amen?
Amen.
Now the thing has kind of changed over. Since that day, it's kind of popular now to belong to the church. We had a lady call us up one time. She moved into the Mesa. And you know, you can just about detect one of those telephone calls. She called up and said, "Is this the pastor?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, we just moved here." And I said, "How long have you been in town?" "Oh, about 8 months." Now I've been trying to find a place for my membership. Oh, brother, isn't that glorious? I've been trying to find a place for my membership and never stopped there inside the door. How many members would you like to have like that, brother Wilmer? Oh, hallelujah. Brother, you didn't get in that Jerusalem church that way.
Amen.
But you got in there because you turned your heart inside out, and the head of the sin, and the weight of all the fire, and the Medina, I follow you.
Amen.
You are the Savior. This may not be the time of preaching you will hear me, but I want you to know Pentecost is different than what a lot of people have made a sign and pinned it up to be.
Yes.
In this day and hour. Yes, sir. My first introduction to Pentecost was in a building. Oh, what a building. It was an old store building. Had any of it, I guess it was cement or plaster or something. I don't know, it had holes dug out in it. The cement floor had holes in it. They've used it ever since Noah's day, I guess, for a grocery store and a furniture store and everything else. And the old building was run down, nobody else wanted it. And the floor was bad, the walls was bad, the parents outside was bad. And when you got inside, why, you looked at the crowd, and well, they didn't act like that they had just got out of some seminary or college. And they had a lone guitar that was beat up and run down and scratched up, and been out in bus arbors and this and that and the other, and they didn't look very good. The songbooks had the back door of all of them, and you looked around and about half of them was act like they've been rolled up, and then the singing. Well, when you heard it, you understood then why it didn't mean a songbook very much. When the preacher got up to preach, well, you could tell that there was not a college graduate. And I want you to know a church, it was, hallelujah, it was a place for shame. The altar and the joy of God will fill the heart and flood the mind. It was in my own soul that I built the building. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, sir. I built the altar. I'll never forget. I me and my wife were sitting in our room, but Daddy was sitting tonight. When the invitation was given, I stood like everybody else, and I held them to the back of that seat, and it seemed to me like the seat was doing this. I couldn't be still. The devil said to me, "You better not go." And I shook, and I've been living under conviction for months I'd get out on the old tractor plow, and it sounded like angels would come around and start singing. I could hear them sing the glorious songs of Zion. The tears would start rolling down my face voluntarily. I could not keep their night and hold the night. And I plowed corn for 50 or 100 yards at a time because tears had blinded my eyes. Oh, I had heard the noise fall on the tractor and cried out, God save me, I'm a poor old sinner. But I had too much pride, too much stamina, and too much revenge in my heart. I would not do it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, look at a little show me. David said, well, if you want to go, you better not say anything to your wife. And I shook the place for a while, and I didn't look at her. I was afraid if I turned and looked, that my look would give her an invitation to go. Well, that's exactly the way I felt. The devil said, you don't have blood on your hands, so you better not look at her. And have nothing about her according to that altar. So I stepped out, and like a stupid idiot, I walked to the altar. I didn't even look back to see if she was coming. Isn't that a sad thing? Man that's married to a woman, I'll tell you at the very best, Brother Reese, we have problems with one another. I wanted her to go to the altar because she had been involved in as much trouble as I was. But I want to tell you, I bent back around to see what was happening. I fell down at this altar, and I began to cry out to God. And I don't know if there's a nice way to get saved or not. I don't know if there's a better quiet way to it. Nobody told me to get loud. Nobody told me what to do. But I want you to know I poured my heart out to God. Enough of the pressure of a moment. I wiped my eyes and I looked out, and there was my precious wife, just a few feet away from me, at the same altar. Hallelujah. We started out the same night. God gloriously saved. Oh, yes, sir. Get from the church, even though it was an old story. I want you to know I yet didn't have my Pentecost. I told the folks at the fellowship meeting today, and I told my church not very long ago, that I felt like God carried me on pillows of air. That was about 4 foot suspended in the elements, and I just floated around for months after I saved. I felt like God was just holding me in the palm of his hand. I could shout the blessing and the praise of the glory of God, and they kept on telling me, Brother Luna, you need the baptism. You need the Holy Ghost. You need to get the very call of blessing. I didn't see it either. I suppose off then. Why am I felt like the faith was to screw the lid down on me and not allow me to do anything in the church. Well, I just explode, that's all. I was so full of God on the inside. But I did not have the baptism of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. They convinced me that I needed something. And God had something more. And I will tell you something, neighbor. God does not have a day stored up in the heavens by way of spiritual benefits and spiritual graces that will do you harm. Amen. But everything that God has will help you. Down the road, and then they're about to start to bed. The old mule was ridden, rocking, and his bone was sticking out. And the old farmer was driving him down the road. He'd been on for a minute, but he went ahead. And his neighbor, right in front of him, had lost a bale of hay, riding right over the road. It began to get a little dusty in the evening. That old mule was about to starve to death. He'd come up and he'd see that bale of hay. He perked up his ears and his eyes, and he stopped. He saw that thing laying right in the middle of the road, black as a bear. The old farmer said, "Get up!" He hit him in the line. He just moved. He had to pull him around. That bale of hay, showing the thing that he needs the most. If that doesn't describe human nature in the age that we're living in, we're shunning the thing that God has provided for us. And we need it more than to be outside of God. We need it more than to be outside of God. We need it more than to be an extra paycheck. We need it more than anything else in all the world. But we've got our spiritual ears all cocked back. Somebody tells us, "Oh, you need something else that God's got." We said, "Oh, no. I'm not saying. I'm saying, brother, when I can do something for God, and I let some little frivolous thing keep me from it, I need some help from God. I need some help from God. There's one day that you and I are going to stand and we're going to want God to take our side. We're going to want Jesus to be our intercessor. We're going to want him to be our high priest. And if we shun him and avoid him and we just allow him a little bit of our life, brother, I want you to know we're going to pay for it in regret and sorrow on the day of accounting.
Amen.
Even if you do make it by the skin of your teeth. But who wants to make it in by the skin of the teeth? That's a little bit too narrow for me. Especially the realm I've got around here now. I need a little bit more room. The Apostle Peter said, "There is an abundant entrance in the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. And the little fellow that wrote that song in the canon, in the corner of glory, it's all out as far as I'm concerned. I have enough canons in this world. I want something that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful God.
What is Pentecost? I'm not going to get around to it. I'll tell you tonight, Pentecost is an experience in a vision for salvation.
Yeah.
You said, "Brother Rick, can you prove that?" I said, God said in John 3:16 that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the lost and dying, depraved and fallen world, that he gave his Son, and the rough gift of the world, for a better redeemer, because they placed their faith in him. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent ye, every one of you, be converted that your sins may be blotted out, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Jesus Christ is God's one gift to the sinner.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is God's one gift to the saint.
Yeah.
God has something to give the believer and the Son of God that will enable them to have a new
Amen. Amen.
victorious. Amen?
Yeah.
It's an experience. It is a gift.
Yes.
Now, water baptism is an experience. The same word that baptize is used in relation to the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, if the word baptize means immersed in water, you do it absolutely, that's what it means. It means to cover him, bury him in water. Then the same term means that God wants to cover you, he wants to bury you in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And when he buries you in the power of the Holy Ghost, he wants all of you to get lost.
Yeah.
He wants all of you to get buried. He wants all of you to get baptized.
Yes.
He wants all of you to get submerged. Yeah. I've been around just long enough to find out that if we got a few around us in this world that needs a little gift.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We need to go under again. Oh. We need to get submerged again. We need to get rebaptized again.
Yeah.
We need the power of the Holy Ghost to
help
us.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Amen.
I must be here holding somewhere. I'm feeling like something, you know, just like you shoot a chicken with a rock. It thumps and gets dead. Amen. I'm sitting on the seat by the side of you tonight.
Yes.
You know what I am. Brother, we don't need to kid ourselves.
Amen.
I don't mean to say that that movement is backslid and gone to the devil and the dogs. But I want you to know the same of God people, we are rebaptizing in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And Jesus, we are baptizing in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Amen.
I see a lot of things around the churches that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And yet we're still professors. I've had some folks in my ministry that have just come long enough to keep their name on the church roll so they can go and business meetings.
Yeah.
Now, brother, that's a lot of religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me,
Amen.
Right. I don't know. Pastor, we may need to close this thing tonight. I want to tell you something, brother and sister, everything that's not Jesus is going to be burned.
Amen.
Everything that doesn't have the nature of God is going to be given account for.
That's right.
If I sing a song, if I teach a class, if I preach a sermon, if I dig the foundation for the church, if I put on the cement for the parking lot, it doesn't matter what I do. If I've got real money and a humble life of God, it does not know for the credit time in my life.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
No, sir.
That's right.
We've got a lot of minuses in the ledger. The beauty of God's liberty, wiped out, and been saturated with the baptism of the Spirit,
yeah.
And let God so fill our lives that we become all for Him and none for self and none for worldliness. I don't mean that we need to just die upon the stem, never have a smile, never do anything that brings life and terribleness among the young people. Get out of there with them. But I want you to know we can share it for God and live with the young people.
Amen. That's
it. We get along with our young people out of our churches because we can't tell them you can't do this, you can't do that. But if you get a full Holy Ghost, they'll tell you what they can't do.
That's right.
You can pass around some kind of a standard or pass around a blank sheet and let them set a standard and they'll set a high one. That's what you will for me. Because God is talking to their hearts on the end time. I'm talking about when they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and we all get it home. It's alive in the heart. It will set up.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Oh, praise God.
Oh, yes. Praise God. That clock is rolling. And my soul is too.
Amen.
I feel like the Holy Ghost building is coming in. Oh, hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. I want you to know tonight that when God comes in renewal of power and strength, we forget about what anybody else thinks or what other people are doing, and we lay our life out on the altar and say, Jesus, I'm going to lay it down and let you dictate the thing that I tell you and the thing that I do not. Amen. So the baptism and the Pentecost is an experience.
Yeah,
sure is. Sure is. I want you to know it's a new and a transformation.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
I've had folks that live for the Lord and member of the church for years without this beautiful, glorious, enjoyable experience.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I've seen those people get stirred in the inner spirit and cry out to God with tears, fasting, and prayer until God gloriously baptized them in the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the church said, I'll tell you, old brother so-and-so doesn't seem like the same person anymore. He is not the same person. One of the old brother so-and-so has died out and the Holy Ghost has come alive. Hallelujah! And it's died out more character and it's come alive more power. Hallelujah! And it responds to the Holy Spirit when the Lord is dealing in the service.
Yeah.
But in our churches we've got a lot of resilience to the Holy Ghost. They don't want the Holy Ghost to deal with them about something. They do not want the Spirit to pinpoint anything in their life. That's a sad condition, friend. That's as dangerous as playing with a rattlesnake. That'll kill the fear of God out of your heart quicker than anything I know of. And when God's holy, righteous, reverent fear is gone from your heart, the only safeguard of displeasing God is just about gone with it. You're on your way out. That's not what you want, and I know. You wouldn't be in this service tonight if that was your desire. And yet there are some of these things that are in lives of many women, no doubt, in this service tonight. Maybe you have not been aware of it, but the Spirit is making you aware of it tonight. You are getting a picture, not because I'm going one, but you're getting a picture of yourself because the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart and with your life. I trust tonight there will be a great number of souls around this altar that will make a dedication not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, not until the Easter season is over, but for life and eternity. The only way you can be happy, the only way you can have a joy of honor, and to say yes eternally to Him. Bring your life in a car to your decision.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you said that, but I don't know what you're trying to get us to do. Or you're trying to get us to shout up and down the aisles? Not necessarily, but you used to do a lot more of it than you're doing now.
Amen.
Well, I didn't get many of you, man.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Say it again.
You said, you have no room, and I'm sorry. Yeah, you are. Come over your ears. I'm out, the preacher, I'm going to stand it. Yeah, you're stuck in a pretty good model. You're not going anywhere. I'll tell you one thing, I don't know whether you'll be weeping, I don't know whether you'll be dancing, I don't know whether you'll be running, I don't know whether you'll be sitting on the seat and just giving yourself a praise. But you're going to have something happen inside of you when the Holy Ghost gets in there.
Yeah.
If you can contain the Holy Ghost and be quiet all the way around and show no outside demonstration, I'll close my Bible and I can preach it.
Yeah.
It's an absolute impossibility.
Amen.
We could go to the ball game and they make us ashamed. The way they holler and yell and scream and scold,
right,
and yet we're faithful to our little sheepers when we come to the church house.
Amen.
You can search through the book, brother, and you can find a lot of loud crying and weeping. You can find a lot of loud praising going on. There's a revival one time on Israel that he got up and started reading the scroll, and the people got on fire so much because of reading the Word of God that so much noise was created in the temple or tabernacle that Israel couldn't read the Bible.
That's right.
And he didn't say that was out of order. But a revival will come to Israel through this thing.
Oh, praise God.
I'm not advocating the powers and noise, because that's like the man that decided he didn't wear a doorbell, and he took the bell out and he tied it on its socket. And he stuck it out on the outside, or on the inside, rather, and when somebody came up and mashed the button, the bell was supposed to light up. Several days went by, they didn't even have a call. He got on the telephone and called the electrician. And he said, "Say, man, I want to ask you a question." He said, "There's something wrong with my doorbell." He said, I haven't had anybody to mash my doorbell in weeks now. And he said, "I tell you what about it." He said, "I got called the lawyers." He said, "I thought I said that bell out of there, and I don't screw a light bulb in there." Well, he said, "You silly man, don't you know it takes more power to turn a light on than it does to make a bunch of noise?"
Yeah.
I want you to know, friend, it takes something to turn the light on.
Don't
let it stop. But when you get the vibrating power of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be concerned about how much or how many more you
want.
All you want to do is preach Him. Hallelujah. And you go back to the battle. On the way to the call, the Bible said that the sound will go.
Yes.
They heard the sound of Pentecost.
Yes.
But they heard something.
Yes.
And it said that they acted like nothing. Ooh, hallelujah. The church that gets drunk on the
Spirit.
We need to get a lot of God that we don't act like ourselves and get lost in the power of God.
Yes, amen.
Peter said he didn't deny that these people were drunk. He said they're just not drunk like you suppose. They haven't had a chance to get down to that bar, but they did that in the world.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 Holy. Maybe I'll turn for some of these ways that God wants to get inside of me and put a fire burning on the inside. It's no wonder that this teenage world, how much on the church and say it all in the other, that's my Lord. And the church to satisfy the hunger and the need.
That's right. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. But they said, when this was noise the board, they heard it. They heard what was going on. And then he said that some of them act like madmen and they marveled. Now, I don't know what that means. I'm not attempting to describe that. I don't know what it is, only they just act. And they believe in what they ordinarily act. But I read in the book one time where the Mennonites had a revival of the Holy Ghost. But when they met in the church, they got fanatical. And they lost all sense of reason, I guess. And you know, they got under so much of the glory of God. The ceiling, I don't know, must have been a little lower than this. He just went and just with his face, just. He went down the line a little ways, and then he started crossing. When he quit, he had a beautiful cross.
Jesus.
He's an auditor. He reprimanded the little boy because God was in that place.
Hallelujah.
I was past the little church in East Texas and one got the floor of God. Then he got the stump and across the floor and broke the window out and the stump went through. You say, that's crazy, that's silly. That is. He was an old bootlegger, had been peddling whiskey for years. And you mean to say that I'm going to criticize that old boy for getting so excited about God, coming letting the things and acting like a drunk man and a madman inside the church house? But one thing to be mad at, they were full of high God and the soul of the Holy Ghost. I said, go ahead, Brother Wayne, when you break out, we'll put them back in.
Yeah.
We're going to get
them.
We need to get excited.
I'm deceiving here tonight. I want us to sing tonight, He brought me in from the world of sin. Praise God. You can join with us tonight in singing my song to God, super saved. And I really don't know what key for us. And you can join with us tonight if your sins are under the blood, because your sins are gone also. Amen. Now, I don't know how to explain it, and I don't know that there's any way to explain it, other than it's the greatest thing that ever happened to a man, is when his sins left out of the way. Amen. And I tell you, I've been happy about it ever since. Hallelujah. Because just in the moment that sins are saved and covered with the blood of Jesus Christ is a tremendous thing. Amen. So let's sing it tonight. He brought me in from the world of sin. He brought me in.